In the name of Yahweh, the Lord of all glory, amen. My wife and I think, are pretty compatible in most areas, but there is one aspect of our lives that we disagree in terms of our tastes, and that has to do with movies, types of movies that we like. Me, I like action films, like Terminator or Indiana Jones, or science fiction, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings. Those are great movies. I even like catastrophe or disaster movies, such as Dante's Peak, which describes a volcano eruption, or Armageddon, about an asteroid hurtling to Earth. I like lots of explosions. I like lots of special effects in my movies. But my wife, her preference is for what we might call chick flicks. You know what I mean? Softer, gentler, more compassionate, more relational, more peaceful type movies. And so at the top of her list, movies like Gone with the Wind, While You Were Sleeping, Sleepless in Seattle. So you can see there's a difference there in terms of our tastes for movies. And that's why I was very gratified by this psalm that was appointed for me to preach on today, Psalm 29, because it fits much more my preference. It's got lots of explosions. It's got lots of drama and action and catastrophe. Listen as we once again hear the words of this psalm. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. You can almost hear it in Dolby surround sound, the bass reverberation of God's thunder. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. The image here is of a billowing thunderstorm that comes across the sea into Lebanon and becomes a whirlwind that passes through the mountains of Lebanon, shearing those massive cedars like a razor blade would shear the whiskers off of my cheek. Talk about catastrophes. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips forests bare. You almost see the Lord revving up his celestial weed eater and going through the forests of oaks, plowing them down. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. Lightning bolts on every side. Talk about explosions. The skies lit up like the 4th of July. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. Not only do we have thunderstorms and whirlwinds, but now we've got an earthquake, 7.5 on the Richter scale. Any man-made construction collapses. Even the mountains crumble. This is truly a seismic catastrophe of biblical proportions. And lastly, verse 10, the Lord sits enthroned upon the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The last catastrophe, another deluge that inundates the landscape. And the only thing that survives is the throne of Yahweh. He is king over all. Wow, that's my kind of psalm. Lots of catastrophes, lots of explosions, lots of action. This is some impressive psalm. In fact, it could probably win the Academy Award for special effects. Throw in a volcano and a few asteroids, and you'd have the perfect script for the ultimate catastrophe movie. But why? Why is this psalm about catastrophes here in Scripture? The answer is given in the refrain. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. The purpose of this psalm is to draw us to worship the holy and powerful God, Yahweh. It's to give us an epiphany of Yahweh in His power and glory, so that we fall prostrate before Him and ascribe to Him power, glory, and might. It's to give us an epiphany of the all-powerful, omnipotent God. And yet, as I think about this psalm, I start to have second thoughts as to whether this is really the kind of epiphany of Yahweh that I want, albeit my tastes for movies. And the reason I have this second thought is because of the very last line that I read there. It says, worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. And that's a problem for me, because I'm not holy. And for an unholy being to come into the presence of the holy, all-powerful Creator is problematic, to say the least. So that my response becomes like that of Isaiah, who was transported up into the celestial throne room of Yahweh, and he said, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips in the midst of a people of uncleanness, and I have beheld the holy God. He was expected to be blown away, to be a grease spot on the wall. Talk about disasters and calamities. Because of our sin, they should fall on us. As Hebrews 10 puts it, sinners can only have a fearful expectation of judgment and raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Dreadful indeed. And so, I need another epiphany. Another epiphany of Yahweh. One that's more like my wife's tastes in movies. Softer, gentler, more compassionate, merciful, peaceful. And blessedly, God has given this epiphany to us. Not just a epiphany, but the epiphany. When the all-powerful Creator of the universe entered into His creation, and we beheld His glory, not in a windstorm or a whirlwind or an earthquake, but we beheld His glory in a little child suckling at his mother's breast, in a teenager working in his father's carpentry shop, in a young man ascending out of the waters of the Jordan River, an itinerant preacher proclaiming His word from a hillside, in a rabbi who sits with and sups with the outcast, with sinners. We have an epiphany of the Lord, in which we hear His voice, only this time His voice is not heard in the roll of thunder or the rumblings of a seismic earthquake. But His voice is heard in the cry of a little baby, in the questions of a 12-year-old boy in the temple. His voice is heard in the sermon preached from a boat in the Lake of Galilee, in the silence of a defendant on trial before the Roman procurator. And His voice is heard from that execution post as it cries out, Tetelestai, it is finished. And in that moment, that seemingly inglorious scene, we see the greatest glory of all, the glory of God's mercy and compassion and peace to us. Because the catastrophes and disasters that we deserve have fallen on Him, and are finished in him. But that's not the last word we hear. It's not the last of the voice of God that we hear. We also hear the acclamation from the empty tomb and the upper room, the acclamation of shalom, peace, because that's what he has come to bring in his epiphany. Having been justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you now have peace with God. And so even here in Psalm 29, with all of its storms, calamities, catastrophes, deluges, we hear the last word of the Lord. We hear his voice. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. And in his temple, all cry, glory.